This is Tuesday, February 28th, 2017. The next Hearthstone journey has been revealed, two General Blizzard podcasts are back for another round, and Jarrett and Mikey from Watchpoint Radio talk with me about all things Overwatch. This is episode 228.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, cyborgs and omnics, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. My name is Ro, thank you as always for downloading. And this week we have an Overwatch podcast in the spotlight. Now, it has been quite some time since I've really talked in any detail about Overwatch, and as you'll hear at some point in today's interview, a good reason for that is I don't log into Overwatch all that often. And mind you, Overwatch is a great game. Legion has me pretty occupied with doing stuff, and then when I'm not playing Legion, I'm playing Hearthstone on the way to and from work, and when I'm not doing that, I'm possibly playing Heroes of the Storm, although now that I have Lucio in Heroes of the Storm, you could say I'm supporting Overwatch a little bit there. And not to mention, there's like two or three non-Blizzard games I play. So there's no real bad reason that I'm not playing Overwatch right now. It's just plain and simple, I have too many other games that I want to play right now, and it's just something has to be cut somewhere. Heck, I'm playing Diablo 2 and trying to work that in when I can. Overwatch is a great game. Honestly, it's the first FPS that I've really spent any considerable time with. I'm a pretty casual player, and I find myself returning to the game pretty much when there's a new event going on. It made me wonder, though, what is it that would bring me back to Overwatch for a longer time period than just, you know, 1 or 2 hours when the new event rolls around? Now, I don't think this is going to surprise anyone when I say that a key element that Overwatch is missing that I would love to see added to the game is a single-player campaign or some form of, essentially, story mode. The lore of this world is super intriguing. I mean, take a look at the recent teaser articles for the next hero in Overwatch. I would love to see some of this stuff play out in-game, and I'd love to learn more in-game, not just with supplemental stories, which, you know, they're great, mind you. PvE content in general would be an awesome thing to add to Overwatch. I know Overwatch, at its heart, is about player versus player, team versus team content, but me, I'm more a Borderlands kind of person, I guess, when it comes to first-person shooters. I don't know. The Horde mode that was introduced with Junkenstein's Revenge was awesome. It was amazing. And I hope we get to see more things like that, and more often than just, you know, say, every Halloween. When all said and done, though, and this may surprise you, I won't be mad if these features aren't added. Sure, I might be a little disappointed, but as far as I'm concerned, so far, I'd say I've got my money's worth out of Overwatch. It's a great design game, it made me step out of my usual comfort zone for gaming, and try something that I'm normally not into. Now, if you're listening to this and you haven't given Overwatch a shot somehow, pun not intended, I'd highly recommend trying it the next time that, say, a free play weekend comes around. I'd even suggest that to someone who hasn't played since, say, the beta, considering all of the new content and features that have come to Overwatch over the past year. Speaking of new content, it's time to talk about upcoming content in multiple Blizzard franchises, so let's go around the World of Warcraft and more in 80 seconds. Yesterday, the Hearthstone development team released Journey to Un'Goro, a 135-card expansion scheduled to release in early April. Key features of this set include the elemental minion type, the adapt keyword, and quest cards. While we won't receive any more information until March 17th, you can check out the announcement video right now at Hearthstone's YouTube channel to see the first revealed cards. Based on previous patterns, it's expected that the 24th hero in Overwatch will be revealed sometime today. A teaser article last week introduced us to 11-year-old child prodigy Effie Oladele, followed a couple of days later by the reveal that an attack had taken place on the Noombani airport, resulting in the theft of Doomfist's gauntlet. Meanwhile, in World of Warcraft, last week a general Q&A was held on Twitch with most of the topics concerning gear. The next Q&A takes place next week, and that will focus on specifically PvP content. Also, don't forget that next week marks the debut of Mists of Pandaria Timewalking Dungeons. Raidfinder enthusiasts will also be able to confront Gul'dan next Tuesday. And finally, the HGC Western Clash takes place this weekend in Katowice, Poland, starting on Friday at 6 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time. Eight teams representing North America, Europe, Latin America, and Australia and New Zealand will be competing for the grand prize of $30,000. For more information on the HGC Western Clash, including brackets and match schedule, head over to heroesofthestorm.com/esports. And that's your news. I'll be back with the hosts of Watchpoint Radio after the overly dramatic news with Hunts the Wind.
For small Tauren clan, it's a case of different doom, same gloom. It's the overly dramatic news. I'm Hunts the Wind. Visitors to High Mountain may have run into the Prepfoot clan, a small group of Tauren convinced that Deathwing still lives. But after 6 months of adventurers visiting their compound possessing loot that could only have come from the Great Dragon's hoard, many members of the clan have begun to realize that Deathwing is no more. As a result, their suspicions have risen that the group's leader, Trand Prepfoot, has been conning them to stay in power. But yesterday, Trand made a stunning announcement of a new threat, the coming I-Level 1K apocalypse. In a rambling, at times barely coherent press conference, the Tauren claimed that magic in Azeroth was limited to 3 digits, and when items surpassed I-Level 999, they would somehow roll over to negative I-Levels and instantly disintegrate. He claimed that only he could determine which weapons, armor, etc. would survive, and the Prepfoot needed to keep him in charge to help them stockpile for the post-apocalyptic world. Although ODN and other attendees from the outside ridiculed this obvious scam to remain in power, the other Prepfoot members immediately bought into it, swore allegiance anew to Trand, and closed their village to outsiders. Earlier today, Mela Highmountain made a personal appeal for the Prepfoot to reject the false words of Trand and aid in the fight against the Legion. Sadly, she reported her efforts were rebuffed, as the Prepfooters declared all opposition to their leader as fake moos.
Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
It's been 9 months since the release of Overwatch, and the game continues to roll along with new content being created for the players on a fairly regular basis. Of course, it's not just the developers that are creating this content. Players of Blizzard's newest franchise are responsible for the continuing run of over a dozen Overwatch podcasts, including the show in this week's spotlight. Watchpoint Radio has been on the air for over a year now, and with me are the hosts of this community-oriented podcast, Jarrett and Mikey. Welcome to the show, guys.
How's it going?
Hey, good to be here. How are y'all?
Doing pretty good. It's great to finally talk to you guys. I've been listening to you for quite a while, ever since the first initial special editions of the show way back in January of 2016. Jerry, I have to imagine it's been an interesting journey. I was wondering if you'd talk a little bit about just the origin of the show. I know it started with those special editions, and just how did it graduate from there into a regular running podcast?
Yeah, we actually started planning the show about 2 months before that, because, originally, before I got into the beta, I actually got into Overwatch beta back last November, you know, November 2015. And before that, I really didn't want to hear anything about Overwatch. Nothing that I saw from Overwatch actually made me want to play it. But of course, since I didn't want a beta invite, I got a beta invite.
That's how it works, right?
Yes, that is how it works.
Of course.
And I got it. And once I hopped in and started playing, I'm like, this is going to be big. This game is going to be amazing. Soldier 76 was obviously my first character. I think he's everybody's. But then the second character I played was Zarya, and I fell in love with playing Zarya. Loved it. Cause I loved the fact that I was supposed to draw people into fights so it could power me up and then I could cut them down. That's kind of what I like to do. So, once I got past the fact that we definitely want to do a show, and we start preparing for the show, you know, like, well, you know, what do we really want to cover here? What do we want to do? Because anybody can go anywhere to get Overwatch news. You can go anywhere. Mm-hmm. There's going to be other podcasts. Actually, there were podcasts that were already out that were covering the competitive scene, and they were definitely going
to
do it.
It's funny to think that there was a competitive scene before the game was even
out. that's the crazy. That's really the crazy part, isn't it? That this game like took off before it even launched.
See, I don't find that strange, because I mean, I've been playing, I have a competitive background, especially when it comes to shooters. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been playing competitive shooters since Quake 3 Arena.
Nice.
And it's not uncommon for, once the community gets a hold of the game, to start coming up with rules and tweaking it to make it, well, tweaking it as much as they can to make it competitive. So I actually wasn't that surprised that there was already a competitive community in beta.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I was able to get into the beta fairly early myself. You said you had a love for Soldier and Zarya. Me, I've been a Junkrat junkie from day one. I just, from the day that he was available on the beta, I could not stop playing Junkrat, probably because I admit I have very little skill on aiming.
That's what he's built for.
But that is exactly his design. That is exactly what he is built for, like Josh said. So that makes total sense, and you should not feel bad that you're a junkie for Junkrat.
If I say bad things about him on the show, then most of the time that's just coming from an emotional place at the time. You know?
Yeah, so normally I push Jaw over the edge and he just doesn't know what to do anymore and he just gets emotional and just starts like saying what he really feels.
One thing I noticed is that you two can I've listened to a few different episodes and you two can get into some very passionate discussions, wouldn't you say, Mikey?
Yeah, a few times. There's probably more than a few.
Yeah, definitely more than a few.
Yeah, but it's good. Like, I like that. I don't want to just be surrounded by yes men. You know, if you feel one way, I want you to tell me you feel that way and explain why. Don't feed me crap. Don't do any of that. Tell me why and give me reasons. And, you know, sometimes we go back and forth and sometimes we just straight up disagree. But the other times, like, I think me and him have gone back and forth and, like, one of us will be like, yeah, you're kind of right. And, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and I actually feel just in general when it comes to podcasts for me that some of the most entertaining podcasts are the ones where you have co-hosts that aren't always agreeing with each other every single episode. When you have two different views on pretty much any given subject, that creates the most interesting conversation and where some of the best podcast listening comes from my point of view. Mikey, when it comes to the format of the show, now you guys have talked about being a community-oriented podcast, but can you describe a little further what that exactly means in terms of what can players expect to get out of listening to a typical episode?
To me, we're community-driven because, I mean, we're listening, right? Like, I get Twitter messages here and there, and we try to look at the forums and we do our research on like what are people actually talking about, like not just like, you know, we do reach out to our Watchpoint Radio community fans and we listen to them and we bring their insight in as well, but we also reach out to not just them, but we try to look over at the Overwatch community in general and we try to take a look at what they're talking about and what's really blowing up and what everyone's thinking. And we try to, you know, address that and give our own spin or take on it. So that's what it kind of means to me is that we're actually going out there and we're listening and we're researching and we want the feedback. We want to know like what people are talking about so we can talk about it with them in a sense, you know?
Right. So in general, when it comes to like, one thing you guys have talked about before is that, this isn't necessarily the podcast that does all the play by play of every single news bit that comes out. You're trying to put more of a focus on what players are exactly interested in and not necessarily go into the technical nitty gritty of why was this buff and this nerf made. Is that fairly accurate?
I will say we do dip our toe a little bit into that technical side on occasion. I think Ja would agree. Like, we can sometimes get off on tangents about buffs and nerfs sometimes and why they're okay. But like, we try to balance it out. Like, we understand people want to hear, like, why was this done? Well, I don't agree with this. So, you know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, while we're not completely technical, I don't want to say we're like, we ignore every single, you know, technical piece. We do go over the patch notes. We do read over them and try to make sense of them. So, but like you said, we're not doing play by plays of like competitive esports matches and being like, that's the moment that person died and that's the moment that caused everything to fall apart and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, basically, if we find that it's helpful to the community in general and not just the super competitive segment, because the vast majority of players aren't playing at an esports level, obviously. I mean, the vast majority of players aren't even playing at a diamond or even, or diamond or master level. So if we see like a perfect example is the new Bastion changes coming down. And it's very important to talk about that because the community is going to see a lot of Bastion coming up, and in either the next episode or the episode after that, whenever the changes go live and it's had a little time, for people to play around with it, we're going to talk about, okay, you're going to see a lot of Bastions. They can be annoying. This is how you should deal with them. This is how you should work with your team to do so.
And just quick aside for those who haven't been played much Overwatch recently, if I'm not mistaken, these changes, Bastion, that you're talking about include the fact that, oh, by the way, he can heal on the move now?
Yes. It's fuel. It has a limit. So, I mean, it's not... We could get into it if we really wanted to, but, like, it is. He can move and heal, yes.
It's a resource system, kind of like how D.Va's shields now work.
Correct. Right. See, there you go. You pay attention. Good job.
I being a podcaster who talks about Blizzard games and every once in a while talking about Overwatch, I try to at least watch the news and stuff like that, and I listen to like one or two Overwatch podcasts a week, so I'm relatively connected. It's a fair point, though, to make that, honestly, as a player, and I mentioned this before we started the interview, but I am lately only logging into Overwatch pretty much when the special events happen. Like, we had Year of the Rooster recently, of course, when the holiday events happened at the end of last year, I logged in. And for some reason, Blizzard is finding a way to make me throw more money at them for skins, yet I'll spend all of maybe 4 to 8 hours during that holiday event playing Overwatch, and then I'm done for another, like, 2 or 3 months until their next holiday event comes around. Jared, do you find that a lot of people are kind of this way right now? Because, I mean, like, it's not that I don't love Overwatch anymore. I think I've more or less moved on, but if they're doing something that I haven't seen before, that compels me to come back.
Oh yeah, during the events, you definitely see a lot of players come back, and you could tell because the first day that you hop on an event, the way people are playing, you can just tell they're rusty. They don't know what to do. They haven't seen certain changes. You know, they're not used to playing a certain way now. So lots of people definitely do that.
Yeah, I found, matter of fact, when I returned, I found that I was nowhere near as good a D.Va player as I used to be. I was like, why does it feel like I'm not killing things fast enough anymore? And what the heck happened to our health?
Yeah, that's more than half the community right now is still asking. Even people who play on a regular basis are asking those questions.
Yeah, that is definitely not a foreign subject right now, is the D.Va.
No doubt. So, with all the changes that have happened to Overwatch since the launch of the game, all the additions that have come to the game with, you know, the arcade mode, all the events that we've seen, Mikey, what aspect of the game are you currently the happiest about? What is Overwatch doing right?
Overwatch has been doing this right, and it's been right from the get-go. It's still fun to just play those maps over and over again and have your friends beside you and rally, and just the core game in itself is just so good, and I can't deny that. Like, that is still my happiest moments are those really intense, like, pushing the payload at the last second, everyone is, like, wiping each other and everything, and that's kind of where, like, I'm most happy, and that's why I play Quick Play. Like, Quick Play is still, like, my happy little home. I appreciate the events, and I appreciate, you know, arcade mode, and I appreciate the addition of new heroes that they constantly do. Everything that they do to enhance the core basic game makes me happy. Anytime that, like, something takes away from that excitement or thrill, though, like, I'll be first to call Blizzard on it and be like, okay, you're taking away from my core game, and now I'm not very satisfied with you. But if where I'm happiest is at the core game. All these bells and whistles is wonderful. I love the addition of arcade. I love the addition of earning loot boxes through the arcade and all that jazz. But honestly, if I still just had the core game, I'd still be playing it. Like, if I just had Quick Play right now, I would still be playing it.
That's a pretty interesting perspective, because I feel like for me, when I do play Overwatch, when I've played, like, say, during the events and stuff like that, the arcade's been the thing that's grabbed me. Like, normal quick play mode is something I kind of stay away from. And I think part of that is just due to, it used to be just in competitive play, but the few times I've stepped in the quick match play recently, it just feels like people are like, oh my gosh, what are you doing, you freaking noob, blah, blah, blah. When it doesn't even need to have voice chat enabled. People are just typing in, learn to play, blah, blah, blah. So I go to the arcade, to my safe space where the rules are freaky and weird and people don't seem to care so much. Like, one-on-one duels are my jam right now.
Okay. You like the 1v1s?
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. I can appreciate that.
Well, yeah, okay. I was going to say that, it's taken a while, but Blizzard, in my opinion, like, I know you said you really don't like to go into quick play right now, mm-hmm. but I think that's the way it kind of should be. And I'm not saying you shouldn't play quick play, but if you're just a really casual player and you want like a really stress-free game, arcade is where you want to go, especially if you still want to play 6v6, you can. You can play Overwatch the way it came out originally, 6v6, no limit heroes.
Six Bastions for the win. I mean, that's the meta comp, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's how you win every game, especially
something
on
like
console.
That.
Yeah. But now, quick play, the reason I think you're experiencing that in quick play is because now that segment is done, they've done that segmentation. Quick play now is kind of a place where people are trying to learn new heroes and they're trying to maybe try out some new strats. And I'm not saying it's right. Don't get me wrong. I don't think you should be berating, players just because they can't play at your level, maybe. But I understand why you're experiencing what you are. If, you know, you only come back every once in a while, mm-hmm. you're rusty and somebody's sitting there trying to actually get better. Cause to them, this is going to lead to them being better and competitive. But, you know, I get it. But sometimes you just gotta tell somebody to go jump off a roof and kill themselves, you know, and so they can leave you alone.
And as a Junkrat player, I have the means to make that happen.
Yes, you do.
And my favorite supports Lucio, so there's another tool. Well, okay, so, Jared, how about for you? What is Overwatch doing right now?
Well, in terms of things doing right, I think the thing that they're doing right is that they are constantly trying to improve the game. They're not sitting, they're not really waiting. Like, they're fixing things that need to be fixed, but at the same time, in my opinion, and Mikey might disagree with me, I think they're trying to march toward mods and more customizations, because that would definitely help keep the game alive, and at the same time, it would be of less cost to them. So with them constantly looking at what's going on in the game and seeing how they can improve it, you know, I think I've seen some bad decision making.
What would you say is a bad, like a recent bad decision that's been made? I'm actually curious about that.
Well, okay, let's talk about the year of the Rooster event, right?
Sure.
When they first put out CTF, that was a bad idea to put it out that way, because you know, people have been asking for CTF for a while. On the show, we had talked about why CTF really isn't a good idea and why they shouldn't have it, but they put it out anyway. But I'm like, if you're going to put it out, at least give it your best effort. And it was clear from Jeff Kaplan's video that they knew it wouldn't work and they weren't going to try to make it work.
Yeah,
but I remember
in his video, he actually said, you know, here's Capture the Flag, but this is also going to kind of show you guys why Capture the Flag doesn't work in Overwatch, but we're like going to let you have fun in Brawl anyhow. It had a really weird vibe to it.
Yes, it did. Yeah. Like, it was kind of like, you asked for it, and we're going to show you why we're not giving it to you. They would have been better off not putting it out, because it just sets a tone, you know? So I think that was a bad decision. Also, if you want to talk bad decisions, you could talk about how they buffed D.Va, you know, late last year, and it made her overpowered. Now you have a great deal of the community, now that she's actually tweaked a bit better, you have a great deal of the community that are just angry because they got used to playing D.Va, they really like the character, and now they can't play her anymore. But more on the good idea side is the fact that I think the Overwatch community, you know, the whole CTF situation kind of taught them something. And that was that the community, you have to give the community, especially in shooters, some form of control of the game. And they can usually make things better. So by them, well, it's not live yet, but when the server browser comes out and the tweaks that you can make the CTF, that, even though CTF and Overwatch still won't be perfect, it will definitely be much better than what you experienced in Year of the Rooster. And I actually think the competitive community, I'm curious to see how the competitive community reacts, because with the new changes to the server browser and be able to make the custom games, you can actually tweak Overwatch in ways that makes it way more competitive. It makes the characters way more fair. And I think like that, those are really good decisions on their part that they're able to do that.
Mikey, your thoughts, how big a deal is the server browser being added to the game? Because, I mean, again, keeping up with the news, I watched the video about it and I kind of heard what he was talking about. I guess to me it's not something that really grabbed me, but maybe I'm kind of missing the big picture here. What does the server browser mean for the game?
It's the closest thing to mods. In my opinion, it's the closest thing to mods you're going to get for a long time. Just because you're going to be able to tweak, like Josh said, you're going to be able to tweak things and things like that. To the average user, to the non-hardcore PC, non-hardcore shooter fan or whatever, this isn't going to mean a whole lot, except for maybe you could hold an area where you and your friends could play your favorite map over and over again or something like that, or, you know, whatever. But like for the shooter, competitive hardcore person, this is like a dream come true, you know, like I just don't see it being like how you're not, like how you feel you're not impacted is how I feel about maybe 50% or like maybe a little bit over 50% of the community feels, because like, oh, this is cool, but then like the other like hardcore like 45% are like, this is what all I need to practice and do everything I could possibly want.
Yeah, I could see it being a great training tool for competitive teams in esports to be able to go on a specific map and train, you know, certain scenarios and stuff like that.
Oh, easily. Easily. Like, people will use this for training, no doubt. And just to, you know, practice certain things. But
it definitely does that. But I'm not sure if you guys have seen any of the videos or there are some articles on some of the modes that people are creating, but there's been a lot of, I guess the most popular thing people are doing are creating boss fights. Have you seen any of that?
No, but I guess you're like tuning up the health of certain players and stuff.
Exactly. Cause you can, not only can you tune characters, you can tune them per team.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I watched one where they totally tuned up a Reinhardt. Like, they made his ult charge at, like, 250%. They made all of his cooldowns, like, 1 to 2 seconds. And they made him move very fast. And then you have a team of six on the other side of the map is a team of six other people that basically their only job is to take down that one Reinhardt. And it was hilarious to watch. Like, it was hilarious to watch. I actually ended up playing a similar mode, but with Roadhog, and it was actually pretty fun, but I was more concerned with playing the characters on the PTR versus the stuff in the server browser at the time.
I agree with Jared. Like, this is going to definitely open that up as well. And I hope, if anything, Blizzard learns from some of the stuff people are making, like that boss mode, and maybe throw into more modes into the game that are actually released by Blizzard, kind of like I've been hoping for that Horde mode to come back that we got at the Halloween event.
I'd love some PvE content in the game. That would get my attention for more than just a couple of days, because I'll tell you what, the Halloween event, it's probably the, outside of release and the beta, is probably the most I've been engaged in Overwatch was during that.
I think a lot of people felt like that PvE event drew a lot of attention because a lot of people love a Horde mode. I mean, how do you argue with that? Especially with characters with unique abilities and things tweak. And, you know, there were bosses kind of in that mode. So, I mean, I still foresee like that's possibly a thing that they're going to tweak and work on and hopefully release as like an actual Blizzard mode in the future. But who knows?
One last question I had for you guys before we wrap up here today. Try to always ask a question that's somehow related to the name of the podcast. Your podcast is Watchpoint Radio. So, with that in mind, Jarrett, what area of the world of Overwatch would you like to see turned into a Watchpoint, or rather just a playable map for us to explore and adventure and beat each other up in?
I actually, you know, in the Overwatch lore, the lore that we know of anyway, the Overwatch headquarters was in Sweden, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that building, there was an explosion there when Reaper and Soldier 76 or Jack Morrison at that time fought each other.
Right.
I would love for there to be an actual map.
For the ruins?
In the ruins of that building, yeah.
Ooh. That'd be, that, That has my attention. That'd be pretty cool. What about you, Mikey?
Moonbase.
Yes. How can we not? With like gravity mechanics.
Maybe not gravity mechanics.
Oh, let's, no, totally let's... gravity mechanics. I am totally down.
Okay,
with that.
Maybe how about just more jet pads or what, or launch pads? How about more of that or something?
Well, I can imagine like a moon base where most of it is indoors inside the buildings and stuff, but you have a section of the map where you can go outside, and if you go outside, then your jumps are
Can you imagine? I just want you to imagine Winston's jump for 1 second. Just think about the, like, he jumps and now he's like, all of a sudden he's crashing into Earth because he jumps so high.
I would love to get hooks in zero G with Roadhog. From odd positions.
I would love to throw a mine under somebody as Junkrat and just send him into space.
What if Blizzard released the moon base, but it's like a Garry's Mod, like, area where you just get to play around in this playground?
And what if you could, what, and again, if you had the server browser, there could be a slider for tuning gravity.
Bingo.
Yep, there you go. See, this is why we should be working for Blizzard. We have, yeah, all the ideas.
This Blizzard, hire us, please.
That would definitely be a dream job, no doubt. Although I'd probably more want to be a Hearthstone designer than an Overwatch designer, because I don't know. I think I just try to make Junkrat better and better, and everyone else can. Yeah. But you know, those sound like great ideas, and I think it's only a small sample of some of the discussions that people can expect to hear from you guys on Watchpoint Radio. Jarrett, Mikey, thank you for being on this week. And Jarrett, if you can tell my listeners, if they haven't listened to an episode of your guys yet, where, when, and how can they get connected with Watchpoint Radio?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we release every Wednesday, and if you go to mashlessbuttons.com, there, you can find Watchpoint Radio there, and all of our platforms are available right on the website. But if, I guess most people are using their devices anyway. So if you go to iTunes or Google Play Music, Stitcher Smart Radio, we're there too.
Yep. And, I mean, that site's also, the home for a couple other WoW podcasts, WoW Talk and Torn in the Goblins. So, definitely a great place for gaming podcasts in general.
Well, thank you.
And social media wise, where can they follow you on Twitter and such?
Well, we do now. We actually recently just opened up a Watchpoint Radio Twitter account, so we're at it's Watchpoint Radio on Twitter. But I am, if you want to connect directly with me, my handle is _ja_, so it's _JAA_ on Twitter.
All right, and Mikey, where can people find you on Twitter?
If you want to find me on Twitter, I am KEY_LOCKE_, so key_lock_, if they really want to reach out to me.
All right, sounds good. Well, guys, thanks again. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I'm sure we will talk again, maybe on the other side of a Doom Fist or two being dropped upon us.
That sounds good to me.
sounds great. See you then.
Thanks again to Jarrett and Mikey for being on the show this week. Let's move on to podcast news, and we will start off with the return of two Blizzard podcasts that may have gone under your radar during their first outing. The first one I'm going to mention is Blizzard Umbrella. You can find this one at blizzardumbrella.libsyn.com. The show's host, Dusty, rebooted the show a couple weeks back and introduced Ryan as a new co-host. Episode 5, or Reboot Episode 2 if you will, features news on all things Blizzard Entertainment. You can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Blizzard Umbrella. The second returning podcast is called The Weekly Blizz. Now, this podcast can be easily found on SoundCloud as well as iTunes. The show's co-hosts are Guaz and Bags, and this duo have 5 episodes waiting for you to download. You can also catch this show on Twitter at The Weekly Blizz. Once in a while, I'll hear about a non-Blizzard podcast doing something that is Blizzard-related, and this week was one of those times. Streamer turned Heroes of the Storm esports caster Gillyweed was interviewed by Nymphadora on the latest episode of the Girl Streamers podcast. Among other things, you'll find out just where Gilly's name comes from. Find out more about this personality days before the start of the HGC by listening to episode 18 on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. After a few weeks of letting other raiders catch up to them, the members of Exorcis took some time off from farming Mythic Gul'dan to talk about their most recent world-first accomplishment on the latest episode of the Final Boss podcast. How did the Final Boss of Nighthold hold up? And what does the future look like for this Russian raiding guild? Check out the show in its various formats by heading over to finalboss.tv or simply download the audio on your app of choice. The creators of Technically PvP, Foxy Hippo RBG's YouTube channel, and the Victor Sanctum podcast have decided to collaborate to bring you a monthly World of Warcraft PvP roundtable freeform discussion. They call this new monthly show Flagged, and it gives you a look into the collaborators' gaming lives, content creation, and how that affects them in their day-to-day lives. Join Jerisar, Andolin, Foxy Hippo, and Rye CP for episode 1 of Flagged, which you can find right now at victorsanctum.com. It should come as little surprise that podcasters for Overwatch and other Blizzard titles spend some time in World of Warcraft, including Softy from Overcast. Take a trip on the WoW side by learning more about Softy's time in Warcraft on episode 151 of Behind the Avatar, found on your podcast app of choice and always at behindtheavatar.com. And folks, that's just one piece of the great content we've been getting lately from the ANZ region. Another great podcast you should check out this week is episode 32 of Battletagged. With the recent changes to the Battle.net chat system, including the addition of Facebook integration, the crew decided to tackle the serious topic of online safety. You can find this show in all the usual places, and of course at battletagged.com. For those of you that missed the bacon, beer, and Blizzard game talk on the Sundering, thought I'd give you a quick heads up that the show is back this week from its hiatus. You can check out episode 310 later this week. Follow the show on Twitter at The Sundering for further updates. Now, one might ask, Ro, how do you promote 3 podcasts in a single blurb? Well, it goes something like this. Turrets from the Game Case can be heard on episode 205 of Azeroth Roundtable and on episode 275 of the Twisted Nether blogcast. Now her co-host Cuddles joins her during their Twisted Nether visit, and the two shows exchange time and guest spots when Finless appears on episode 79 of the Game Case. You can find these 3 great community podcasts at azerothroundtable.com, twistednether.net, and thegamecase.com. My only question is, when are Ben and John going to appear on Twisted Nether? Moving on, congrats to the crew of WoW Talk on reaching their 75th episode. This particular show was supersized and full of discussion involving mounts, the WoW token, the speed of 7.2 and future content, and probably 2 or 3 topics I'm forgetting to mention. An easy place to find the show is at mashthosebuttons.com, and make sure to follow at WoWTalkMTB for further show updates. WoWhead Holy Paladin Guide Writer Dreamguard teaches Robin Hend all about the light and how to swing it on episode 157 of The Training Dummies, now available in your ears via iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. It's been a few years in the making, and there's a big Hearthstone podcast hitting a big milestone next week. I'd like to congratulate the crew of The Angry Chicken on 200 amazing episodes, yeah, just a few days in advance. Episode 200 should be recording next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, I don't know what's going to be there. Will there be a special interview? A mystery guest? Perhaps an audio montage of every time Jocelyn says something that's totally taken the wrong way? Frankly, if even one of those 3 things happen, it'll be a can't-miss show. For more about The Angry Chicken, go to amove.tv. Elsewhere in the Podcaster Tavern, Ray Walkinshaw from the Walk to Work podcast takes a little time to share his love for Hearthstone with Robin Grant on episode 78 of Velen's Chosen. You can check out that show at velenschosen.com. In Overwatch podcast news, the Cavalry's own Slambo appeared as a guest on episode 50 of
Heroes Never Die.
Draven Dresden and Totemly Drunk welcome both Slambo and Spider on this milestone episode, where the guys decide to switch things up from their usual format to discuss all the rampant speculation and rumors surrounding the impending announcement of Hero Number 24. You can find this show online at hndoverwatch.libsyn.com. And last, but absolutely not least, I'd like to say thank you to the nearly 200 people that donated over $5,300 to Make-A-Wish during this past weekend's Heroes Charity Brawl. Before the brawl took place, Bo Schwartz from CORE paid a visit to the Lords of the Storm podcast, and you can listen to that right now on episode 103 of their show. Many thanks to CORE, Into the Nexus, Lords of the Storm, Hotscast, and the Heroes Power Hour for their participation in this awesome event. You can catch the video archive of the fun and the insanity by going to twitch.tv/frogpants. And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and hit up the Overwatch PTR this week, because I wouldn't be surprised if the newest Overwatch hero becomes available for testing. Will it be Doomfist? Now, I know Jeff Kaplan says 24 isn't who we think it is, but what if it is, huh? What if Jeff's been playing us all along? Well, what do you have to say about it, Terry Crews?
I could totally level a skyscraper.
Folks, thanks for listening this week. As always, I'd like to thank all of you that are supporting this show and the Rolling Restart podcast on Patreon. You can learn how to help out both shows by going to patreon.com/realmpodcast. The Realm Maintenance Podcast can be found on most podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. I also encourage you to check out realm-maintenance.com, where you can find not only the weekly podcast roundup, but a directory of most podcasts out there covering your favorite Blizzard franchises. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter @realmpodcast or follow myself @Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Realm Maintenance is back in 2 weeks on March 14th. And with all the news surrounding Hearthstone recently, it's a good time to have a chat with the Fireside Talks podcast about everything from Arena to Un'Goro. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2016, and is a part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. You can find more great shows at frozenfoxmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks once again to Jarrett and Mikey from Watchpoint Radio for being on the show this week. Thanks to everyone in the community for the retweets and for getting the word out about the show. And as always, thanks to you for listening. It's the end of the show, and that means it's once again time for the weekly podcast roundup. This is an insanely quick rundown of every Blizzard podcast I'm aware of that's produced a show from February 20th through 26th of 2017. For general Blizzard podcasts, we have All Things Azeroth, Battletag, Blizzard Umbrella, Blizzard Watch, A Blue Recluse, Battle.net News, Epic Fail, Epic Questions, Frozen Nerds, Geeks of Azeroth, Hearthcast, The Instance, Lightning Balls, Twisted Nether Blogcast, Victor Sanctum, and The Weekly Blitz. World of Warcraft shows include Adventures in Azeroth, the AIE Podcast, Arcane Analysis, Azeroth Coast to Coast, Azeroth Roundtable, Behind the Avatar, Final Boss for Azeroth, The Game Case Show, Girls Gone Wild, Goblin Goldcast, Horde for Life, Lion's Pride Tavern, The Lorecraft Podcast, Pwncast, Reigns of Azeroth, Rolling Restart, The Starting Zone, The Summoning Stone, Technically PvP, The Training Dummies, The Worgen's Howl, World of Warcast, WoW Challenges, WoW Talk, WoWhead Weekly, and Your WoW Money. Inside the Tavern for Hearthstone, we have 1600, Dusty Anger, Chicken, Brewmasters, Coin Concede, Fireside Talks, Golden Wisp, The Happy Hearthstone, Hearth Coach, Hero Power Cast, The Innervated Legend of the Innkeeper, Top Deck Kings, Valetown, Felon's Chosen, Walk to Work, and Well Met. Westmark's Workshop is your Diablo podcast this week. Heroes of the Storm podcasts include Core, Gankbush Squad, Heroes of the Storm, Power Hour, Hot's Cast, Into the Nexus, Lords of the Storm, The Nexus Trolls, and Town Hall Heroes. And finally, for Overwatch, we have The Cavalry, Heroes Never Die, High Noon, Junkertown FM, The Omnic Fallout, Omnic Lab, Overcast, Overplay, The Overview, Overwatchers, Payload Podcast, Uberview, and Watchpoint. You can catch a weekly podcast roundup every Tuesday at the end of both this show and The Rolling Restart. For links to all the shows and archives of this podcast, check out realm-maintenance.com.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter @FrozenFoxMedia. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.